Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
David Cobb, college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports. He is on X at David W. Cobb if you need to go follow him. And also, he's a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. And then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, how you doing?
Hey, brother, I'm doing okay. Hanging in there from Monday. Happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving week to you.
Yeah, you got college basketball on all day. Pretty good games, too. So, yeah, that's among many things one reason why this is a great week.
I think a lot of people in Memphis are in college basketball hell though right now. You can acknowledge that. That Baja Mar event, they competed against Purdue and they competed against Wake Forest, but that final play against Wake Forest, I think it brings a lot to the forefront. They ran that same play against Texas Tech the night before. Texas Tech was able to stop it, Memphis was not. But like this team, yeah, they lack some depth and talent in the front court. Yeah, Penny Hardaway may have inserted the offense and the defense a little bit too late. Yeah, the vibes aren't right. But they compound all that by not having good execution in late-game scenarios or in normal scenarios during the game. It's just it does not look great. Worst start of the Penny Hardaway era at 1-4.
Yeah, for sure. So there were multiple errors in that game-ending sequence. One, I believe it was Zachary Davis, gets the offensive rebound, should have brought the ball out instead of making another shot attempt when you had the lead with under 10 seconds left. You have to make them foul you in that situation unless it's literally the most wide-open dunk of your life. Two, I mean, I don't know why coaches don't tell their guys to intentionally miss that free throw in that situation because it's so difficult to collect the rebound, and then, I mean, there's no way you're getting a look inside a half court in that scenario with a second and a half left. And it's funny, like you mentioned, they ran that same play the night before. It actually worked the night before. It was in a four-point game, and it's one of those situations where Steve Forbes called the timeout against Texas Tech. They're down by four, and it's like, seriously, man, like, why are you calling this timeout? There's not a four-point play that you can draw up unless, you know, you get fouled and you hit a shot. But that's why you do that in a November exhibition, well, not exhibition, but a tropical resort right. game. You call that timeout to work on that play because later on in the season, you're actually going to need to know how to execute it. Well, it was literally the next night, and that's the infuriating part about it, is that like if you had watched to the end of their game against Texas Tech, you knew exactly what they were drawing up. I think Penny should have called a timeout there. Whoever had the scout on Wake Forest should have been commanding that huddle and saying, hey, look, they ran this play to perfection last night. Here's what it looks like. Here's how to defend it. But Memphis, you know, went down with the timeouts. And so anyway, the whole thing was just maddening. And it just underscores this reality that they're going to have to build their NCAA tournament resume at the AAC conference tournament. Outside of going to Louisville and winning at Louisville, I really don't think there's a path here at 1-4 to getting in the at-large consideration. And it's a very narrow line to walk. this team doesn't look like they can walk it. And so that's okay. Like, that's not the end of the world, right? You can still get there. You have to keep getting better, though. And you have to refocus and realize this isn't last year. We're not going to have the resume that we did last year. We have to take another path. And there is another path, and you know, they just got to figure out a way to get on it.
All right, now Connor says he has the door cracked, potentially on Aaron Bradshaw turning into a decent player. I have shut the door completely. Oh. My hand is officially off the door handle at this point. Where are you at? I mean, he followed up a 9-minute performance where he fouled out with a 8-minute performance where he fouled out. And I would imagine overnight, whether it's in film study or you know, meetings, that was probably emphasized to him. Defend without fouling. And he is incapable of doing it. I'm at the point where, you know, to hell with, like, okay, just take him out of the starting lineup. I don't know if the guy deserves minutes at the moment. Truthfully.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have whatever positive serum Connor's taken, you know, flip me some of that.
Let's be clear here. Gabe's acting as if I said he was good.
I never said he was good. I said he's one of the worst players I've ever seen in a Tigers uniform. That's what I said, but you said you're not counting out him potentially being an okay player at some point. I said it would take a miraculous comeback
by him. Relax with the whole Isaiah. The door's cracked. I said the door's not all the way shut yet.
Yes.
I was like, he might be able to miraculously turn it around. But, Tom, I said he was one of the worst players I've ever seen wear a Tigers
uniform. Said he was the best.
So let's add some context here, please.
Connor said he was misunderstood.
Good Lord.
That he thinks he's a good player. They just got to get it out of him. It's not his fault. That's what Connor said.
That's
yeah, okay.
He should return his money is what he should do.
For real. But where are you at?
Let's see Aaron Bradshaw and Modibo Diarra go one-on-one, maybe, you know? Like, I don't know. There have been some bad Tiger bigs over the years. Sorry, Modibo Diarra, that was a random stray.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary. But it's not pretty. But the thing is, like, you should have known when you got Aaron Bradshaw that he was the farthest thing from a plug-and-play for Dane Dinky. I mean, they've just always had such different styles of game. And there's never been an ounce of traditional post-up on the block physicality in Aaron Bradshaw's past. I mean, I think where Aaron Bradshaw could thrive or at least be a little better is in some of the short roll stuff, kind of operating more out of the high post, get him the ball face up near the free throw line, you know, because he does have the length and the athleticism to one stride get to the basket or maybe the touch to hit a 7 or 8 footer there over a, I mean, because who's going to block a shot that, you know, that Aaron Bradshaw puts up? I don't know. But to think that he's going to be a prototypical five and bring the physicality and the rebounding that you need, I mean, that's just not – it's never going to be who he is.
I mentioned that, though, too, David. I know what you're saying, and I think that's a fair talking point for 3 games ago. You know, I don't see that from him either. He wants to be this, you know, offensively inclined big that can stretch out to the three-point line. I don't think he does that well at all. You know what I mean? Like I've given up on the idea of any role being the perfect role for Aaron Bradshaw.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think you're off base with that at all. It's just mega disappointing when that's one of your highest paid players.
Right.
You know, he was the guy all offseason. Here you're like, well, they lost Danger, but, and now that's already down the tubes, you know, so I just, you know, it's disappointing, especially when you sink so much into a player. And I think it makes it hard in this era to move on from a guy, even when it's so obvious and it's right in front of you. Because maybe back in the day, guys were getting a little under the table or whatever. But, I mean, everybody, you know, at least legally, publicly, was all getting paid the same. And, you know, I think it just made it easier to make those sort of decisions. But when you got a lot of money tied up in a guy, it's hard to come to that realization that, hey, this just isn't working. And they're probably going to have to get there sooner or later. But the good thing is that they actually did find reinforcements. I mean, it looked there for a while like this was going to be a big list team. They don't have great bigs, but Majak can play a little bit, and Ingram is kind of maybe getting into shape or whatever. So, I mean, like there is still a path that doesn't involve Aaron Bradshaw. And, I mean, if they hadn't made those late additions to the roster, boy, where would they be right now? It's not a good situation, man. It's not, but again, I'll say it. Like, if you go and look at, like, KenPom right now, you look at the American, pretty sure Memphis and South Florida are the only teams in the top 100. Wichita State might be fringe 100. UAB is I think, fourth, and they're not in the top 100. So, you know, the league is very, very bad, and normally that's not a good thing for Memphis. but I think it's a great thing for Memphis.
In this case, it is a good thing, yes. With this roster, the way it has gelled through five games. All right, now to some Week 13 college football takeaways. Let's start with Oregon beating USC 42-27. Obviously, Dan Lanning took the shot at the SEC to a certain extent. Basically saying we didn't play Chattanooga State this weekend. Well, you did in the non-con. Oregon, especially Oregon. You guys have had one of the most patsy schedules in America.
Oh my gosh, that was so rich. See, that made me so mad when I saw that. I'm like, if there's anything that the Big Ten shouldn't be bragging about this year, it's strength of schedule. I mean, give me a break.
It reminds me of the Dave Chappelle bit in one of his early stand-ups where he said, because he coached in the SEC too, Dan Lanning. He coached at Georgia, and I remember he used to trash the Big Ten in their scheduling when he was the DC at Georgia. But it was, you know, Dave Chappelle said, I don't know what I like better, Coke or Pepsi. They taste the same, but Coke paid me the most recent, so drink Coke. You know what I mean? Like he's holding up the name of the Big Ten because he coaches for a Big Ten institution. But that's not really what I took away from that game. I took away from this game that I've come to terms with Lincoln Riley with the idea that it's not going to happen for him at USC. And I also need to add this. When you look at where he left Oklahoma, they had a couple of lean years under Brent Venables, and we thought that early USC had won the breakup, had won the, you know, Lincoln Riley was thriving a little bit when he was still in the Pac-12, and that Oklahoma team couldn't get an offense together. Defense was solid, but Brent Venables' teams were struggling. Oklahoma is winning that breakup in a big way at this moment.
Yeah, no doubt. They are one win away from making the college football playoff, which is something that USC and Lincoln Riley still have not done. By the way, apologies, Rosie's.
It's all good, brother. I had to bring in Myers to the studio a couple of days ago, so to record
some
things.
You want to put him on the mic and just see what comes out, you know?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, maybe a lot of babbling.
Is he saying much besides like mama and dada?
Mama, dada, uppy, a little uppy.
Okay.
Every once in a while, but he has no idea what it means.
And then what does
the whole waving high and bye, like get him up. But the whole waving high and bye, we're not there. He loves clapping though. Clapping's his big thing.
Oh yes,
does it on command.
Big thing. Yeah, bye is one of our favorites right now. That's definitely become a hit. I mean, your point on Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma is well taken because this is year four for Lincoln at USC and the results just aren't there. And I don't think you can hide behind the, we didn't realize we were going to be in the Big Ten anymore. I mean, this Big Ten is not great, man. It's great at the top, like Ohio State, Indiana, you know, it's great at the top. But outside of that, like, there's no excuse and no reason why USC shouldn't be the third team in that league with the investment they have, the quarterback play they have, the receiver play that they have. And honestly, I think they're a little bit tougher, at least, on the lines of scrimmage. Like, there's not anything that this team lacks to keep them from being a college football playoff team. Yeah, it's like when the big moments arrive and the opponents of equal or greater physicality arrive, they just can't handle it. And then it's some sort of a, you know, it's never the offense. Like Lincoln Riley knows how to put a good offense together. But on Saturday, it's like a special teams breakdown. And then there's crippling penalties. Like that punt return for Oregon, Malik Benson in the second quarter, I mean, that just broke what was basically a stalemate. And then Oregon led the rest of the way. Defense can't get the critical stop when they need it. It's just not a championship caliber operation at USC. Honestly, I think it was Pat Forty had a column, and he was pretty spot on when he said, so far this has been a continuation of the Clay Helton era. And it's dang, like that's harsh, but honestly, it's pretty true. Like it is, that's pretty much what it is. Now, the difference is I do think the Big Ten's a little bit tougher year in, year out than the old Pac-12 was on average. So I think USC is a little bit better as an actual football team, but the results are not. I mean, that's what matters. Like, I think if you put a Lincoln Riley team up against an average team from the Clay Helton years, like the Lincoln Riley team probably wins the game, but it doesn't matter. Like, the results aren't there. So it's crazy when you look back at that coaching cycle, Brian Kelly and Dan Lanning and Lincoln Riley and Brent Venables, and the ones who we thought were going to be the best are still looking for it. Mario Cristobal is still looking for it. Lincoln Riley is still looking for it. Brian Kelly, he's gone. And then it's like, all right, Oregon hired a coordinator from an SEC school. That's worked out pretty well for them. And then you look at Notre Dame, which a lot of people would have thought was the loser from that cycle, ending up with a promotion from within in Marcus Freeman. And you could argue that, I mean, he's right there with Dan Lanning among the most successful coaches to come from that crazy cycle. And it just goes to show, as we're going through this right now, with what's Lane Kiffin going to do, and, you know, where are all these dominoes going to fall? Honestly, it might be the one that you least expect that comes out ahead in the long run.
And something that I just noticed from Oklahoma now, and their home in the SEC, and USC with their home in the Big Ten, Oklahoma plays like an SEC team. They play with some physicality. The defense is always going to step up in big moments. They found a quarterback to go with it. He hasn't been great down the stretch of this season, but he does enough to play complimentary football with that great defense. I think they embody what it means and what it looks like, at least, to be an SEC team. USC, yeah, they beat the Patsies in the Big Ten, and they do a decent job of, you know, getting within the top 25 every once in a while. But they still, in those big moments, always fall short on the defensive side of the ball, which is where you have to, in big games, ultimately win in the Big Ten. You have to win with physicality and defense in those big moments.
Yeah, it's crazy what Oklahoma is doing. It's such a 180 opposite of how they were under Lincoln Riley. Oklahoma has beaten two consecutive ranked teams without reaching 300 yards of total offense. I mean, that didn't say something about their defense, man. I don't know what does. Like, it, you know, makes you wish like you could combine a Lincoln Riley offense with a Brent Venables defense, because if you could, then now you're talking about right. Now you're talking about a dominant team. So the question, I mean, for Oklahoma is like, is that offense now a limiting factor, or are they to a certain extent just leaning into the strength of their defense? I think that's what they're doing to a certain extent. I think with John Mateer, they're saying, hey, look, man, the way our defense is playing, we just need you to avoid turnovers. Like, if you can get us one first down and a punt, like, it's basically glorified Iowa football right now, what they're doing at OU. Like, that's honestly kind of what it is.
Yep.
Mateer's doing just enough.
It's Iowa football with a big-name quarterback, basically.
Basically what it is. If you gave Iowa a John Mateer at QB and a little bit of juice, any juice whatsoever at receiver, they would basically be Oklahoma right now.
Yep. All right. My former coach, Mike Norvell, the report is out. They sit there at 5-6, just lost to NC State 21-11. He's going to retain his job going into next year. I wonder, is this more about or less about belief in Mike Norvell and more about not wanting to spend the money to pay a buyout after the extension he signed a couple of years ago? Is that the reason he's being retained going into this offseason?
Yeah, and they're not alone in that, man. I mean, you look at Kentucky right now. I think if the price on Mark Stoops was $18 million or $8 million instead of $38 million due in 60 days, I think Kentucky would be moving towards a coaching change right now, and that remains very much up in the air. I think with Florida State, I mean, obviously the buyout, especially when some of the buyouts they've had to pay in the past, I mean, it gets really hard to stomach it when – you could at least, if you beat Florida, sell improvement based on how bad you were last year. It's tough, though, because I don't think the Gus Malzahn experiment worked. So you're maybe going to have to go yet another direction with your offensive coordinator position at the end of the season. You're going to have to go find another portal quarterback in all likelihood. So it's just hard to sell. I don't think there was enough that you can take from this season to – realistically sell progress, but at the same time, you really want to get into this coaching market and this coaching carousel when all these big names, man, Kurt Cignetti, Rhett Lashley, you know, a lot of these coaches have said they're staying, you know, and only one person's going to get Kiffin. So I don't necessarily blame them. And there's no reason why they shouldn't still, even with Mike Norvell and a tough couple of years here, still be able to go out and put together a competitive team for next season. And that league, I mean, it's still right there for the taking.
It's disastrous this year. It's awful. Georgia Tech added to it by losing to Pitt this weekend.
Yeah, I don't even. I still have no idea who's going to be in that ACC championship.
Well, there's six teams involved: 3 1-loss teams, Virginia, Pitt, and SMU, and 2-loss teams: Miami, Duke, and Georgia Tech. And there is the chaos scenario that could happen during rivalry week. And I don't even want to go through like everything that needs to happen. I have it written here, but that's ridiculous. There is a scenario where you could have a 6-way tie. A full-on 100% 6-way tie.
And there's no way that doesn't end in a commissioner's coin flip, right? That's what this is going
to
end up
It would
up
have
with.
To, but if you end up with a 6-way tie and you have I don't know what it would look like. I mean, James Madison, are they going to be a problem for the ACC? Are they? Because I'm really starting to debate it at this point. They take a tough loss to one of their best teams every weekend.
Are they going to be a problem for the ACC, or are they going to be a problem for the American maybe too? Because Tulane's ranked, but they're the only American team that's ranked right now, if I'm not mistaken. And they'll still be ranked in this week's batch. I mean, North Texas honestly has a decent case to be ranked too. They've only got 1 loss, so I don't know why they're not maybe more in that mix. But between those 3 leagues, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion like which of the two are going to end up with a bid. Because I mean, you mentioned it. I think Duke, right, is still technically in the hunt. They have 5 losses. I mean, if a 5-loss team from the ACC is the league champion, which is still in the cards, there's no way.
Yeah, and there's a very real possibility that it's Miami is an at-large and no other ACC teams. That's something that is still out there on the table. Where the ACC could get one in, but it may not be conference champion.
Well, it would that's fascinating. that would be really bizarre. But yeah, I guess that could happen. It's just a mess, man. The league is it's a dumpster fire of a conference. I'm curious, man. Like this is going to be interesting. Is there any smoke or traction to Dabo right now getting in the mix at Penn State or Florida or LSU? Because like this Penn State search to me feels a little off in terms of the fact that like the interim coach right now, Terry Smith, he was their DB's coach and he's a Penn State guy. But I mean, this was a guy who was a high school coach until he ended up on the Penn State staff, and you know he's getting traction at this point to get the permanent job. And yeah, they've won a couple games here as of late, but I'm like that just doesn't add up. The fact that this Penn State search has been so quiet to where we're talking about Terry Smith getting the full time job, like there's something that's just a little off there to me. And I'm not saying like it's definitely Dabo, but I think Penn State's got something up their sleeve in terms of a coach who they at least think they might be able to get. So I'm just going to throw that out there as something to chew on here over the next week or so.
And speaking of which, the Kalen DeBoer came up. It's like a rumored target for Penn State. I knew something was up when I saw that. Like things aren't adding up. There's not any real names involved at this moment. Like names that I think they'll actually hire.
No, exactly. And so like if Alabama does lose to Auburn, I think Kalen DeBoer might entertain the idea of an escape hatch. If you go 0-2 on making the college football playoff and you just lose to an interim coach at Auburn, I mean, yeah, you might want to think about leaving at that point because they're not going to be very happy with Kalen DeBoer if Alabama loses this weekend. So I don't think he would jump if they won the game because they'd be a lock for the playoff. But if they lost the game, absolutely, I can see that.
All right, David Cobb, last thing, obligatory, Lane Kiffin, holler at me.
I think if he were going to stay at Ole Miss, he'd have said he was going to stay at Ole Miss. I that's kind of how, I mean, any normal coach would handle the situation. But again, gets back to the fact that, you know what, Gabe, Lane Kiffin is not a normal coach, not a normal guy. He does things his own way, so... could we rule out the idea that they beat Mississippi State and then he says, oh yeah, guys, I'm staying. I guess we can't rule that out, but it sure seems like if he really wanted to be in Oxford, if he really cared about what Ole Miss thought or cared about Ole Miss at all, he would already said he was staying. And the fact that he hasn't done that to me is kind of a sign of where his heart is.
And it's a shame because I think these players have done a heck of a job for him this year and it's definitely going to be a cloud hanging over them. And I'm sure you saw at this point, Kawan Lacey spoke on it and Trinidad Chambliss spoke on it, but Trinidad also posted on X And he said, to our fans, this team is completely locked in, living in the moment and staying true to our 1-0 mindset for the Egg Bowl and future games. We're unbothered by anything about next year and fully trusting Coach Kiffin's leadership to keep us moving toward our goals. I feel like if that was true, you wouldn't post about it on X, no?
you probably would. I mean, it's clearly a distraction. There's no way it's not a distraction. You can talk about next week and focusing on the game all you want, but it's a distraction. It has been for quite some time now. I mean, these rumors have been going for almost 2 months. Once Florida started 1-3, you knew they were going to fire Billy Napier. And then Lane Kiffin was on Pardon My Takes, you know, talking about how he always dreamed of being the next Steve Spurrier, right? And I mean, that was 2 months ago.
Right.
And so this has been going ever since then. What's going to be really interesting to see is, you know, Keith Carter came out and put the deadline of, we'll have an announcement on the future the day after the Egg Bowl, which will be this coming Saturday. He's the one who said that. But is Lane Kiffin actually prepared to declare his future intentions the day after the Egg Bowl? Is he really? Because, I mean, this could continue as a game of chicken for a while, because you know what? He can always say, well, I've not been offered another job. Meanwhile, LSU is just waiting there to extend the offer, you know, whenever Lane Kiffin finally says that he's ready for it. So, like, this could be a very awkward situation that, frankly, it could continue. Like, I know we're all waiting for Saturday. That's when Keith Carter says there will be resolution. But, I mean, is Lane Kiffin going to be ready for that? And then it's like the other piece of that is, okay, if you're LSU, you got signing day coming up. Like, you've got the portal's going to be opening. You know, do you sit around and wait if Kiffin tries to draw this out and tries to coach a playoff game? I mean, it's just, it's a game of chicken right now between Kiffin, LSU, Ole Miss. If he's going to go, I can't imagine LSU would be okay with him staying at Ole Miss to try to coach the playoff. But it's like Kiffin wants both. He wants that next big job, but he doesn't want to leave this team before it's had a chance to play for a championship.
And I'm glad I heard this weekend, because when this guy talks, usually things have a chance of changing because people hold his opinion in such high regard. But Nick Saban on College Game Day was talking about coaches leaving before the CFP because of the recruiting calendar. You have the transfer portal opening up on January 2. He said, this is not a Lane Kiffin conundrum. This is a college football conundrum, and we need some leadership to step up and change rules. Now, when you need to be enrolled in school and when the semester starts, like, some of these things are tough. It's hard. The workarounds are not possible all the time, but I do agree with Nick Saban. What I think is about to happen is going to be one of the biggest shots against the college football playoff system to date.
I mean, but yeah, I get that, but we have had changes. We did move the portal from December to January for a lot of these same reasons. So it's like, eventually we just got to accept the fact that there are no perfect answers. There are no easy solutions here. And like, we can yell until we're blue in the face about the need for leadership in college football. But if I'm not mistaken, Nick Saban was supposed to be on this committee that was supposed to provide all this leadership, right? I mean, where's that gone? You know? So, I mean, it's
the
just
president
like,
announced it. There wasn't much planning into that one. That was. That was theater.
I know, but like, we pushed the portal back. We did. We went from two portal windows to one portal window. We put it in January, like 90% of the coaches were asking for, and it's not perfect. You know what would make more sense is if coaches didn't leave a team that has a chance to play for a national championship. That would make a lot more sense. You know what? Because I can understand. You know, you don't really care to see your team through their bowl game. You got another better job opportunity. That's fine. Let the interim coach run the bowl game. You know, who cares?
For the CFP,
whatever.
It's different.
I mean, totally different story. It's just.
You would even admit, like, you get the reasoning. You have to get the reasoning. You have to hit the ground running, or else you're going to be fired at that new job in a couple of years if you don't turn over the roster and make some things happen immediately in the transfer portal.
No.
And that's what Lane Kiffin does the best. That's where Lane Kiffin really has made his mark at Ole Miss.
I mean, but to give a – I mean, if you go look right now, I think Ole Miss has 18-1. 18-1 odds to win the national championship at Ole Miss, right? Like, those aren't great odds. But, like, you would be willing to walk out on that, which I would say, depending on matchups – probably a home game. If they beat Mississippi State, they're probably going to have a home game in the first round of the college football playoff with odds at that point of, let's say, 15-1. And you're going to walk out on that to go to LSU. I just it's hard to wrap your mind around that. I mean, it's just crazy that you would do that. It's because look, the last guy did the same thing. Brian Kelly left a Notre Dame team that was still not eliminated from playoff contention to go to LSU.
Okay,
right?
Can I pose something else to you then? Let's put it in these terms, and we have to be quick here because we're coming up against the clock. But John Sumrall, he's going to be up for jobs. He may have to leave for the CFP if he ultimately gets an offer, has to hit the ground running at Auburn or what have you. Like, do you feel the same about Tulane if they were to make the CFP? Because it's the same idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel for the players in the same way. I feel for the staff for the university in the same way. But I understand the justification from Summerall's point of view a little better than I understand it from Kiffin.
Okay.
Because, I mean, think about it.
Well, like, and you're very you've been very clear about this. You don't think Lane Kiffin should leave Ole Miss.
You're going from one SEC job to another. Ole Miss is going to match the salary offer that LSU has given you. They're going to give you something very comparable, if not the same, in terms of NIL resources. You know, Tulane can't do that for John Sumrall. So it is undebatably a major step up and a life-changing opportunity for John Sumrall. That's not what this is for Lane Kiffin. I mean, it's not the same thing. And so, like, yeah, I totally get it from the player and the team point of view. To have your head coach mired in all this is a terrible situation to be in when you still have a championship to play for. But I just think it's apples to oranges because an FCC job for John Sumrall is life-changing and career-defining. It's not that at all for Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. But still, John Sumrall not coaching in the playoff, if that's what happens and Tulane gets in, I still think that's a shot against the system. I truly do. But I think we both agree with this, there's no easy changes that you could actually make. They pushed it back once. I don't know how much further they can push it back with, you know, restrictions on getting guys into school, starting the semester, doing things like that. So we're just going to have to watch and wait and see. David, I appreciate it, though. Thanks for joining.
All right, brother.
He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X College Basketball and College Football for CBS Sports and also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Gabe Kuhn Show, Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. Now it's time to take a trip around the National Football League, and it turned out to be a pretty interesting weekend in the National Football League, and we'll cap it off Monday Night Football tonight, but that's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, go ahead and hit it. Dallas Cowboys beat the Eagles last night, Sunday Night Football. They rallied from a 21-0 deficit, 24 unanswered points. They're now 5-5-1 and still in the hunt, very much so, for the NFL playoffs. And what is cool about their story this year is the rallying they have done behind one of their teammates' tragic death and Marshawn Nealand. They have responded really well. They have done a really good job. And Brian Schottenheimer, obviously I still have my doubts about his long-term viability as the head coach in Dallas. Of course I do. He's been coaching for a long, long time, didn't always have the best offenses, never really got that head coaching opportunity, even though it feels like he would be in a good position to do it with who his dad was and Marty. But I will give him credit for this. He controls the offensive side of the ball. He's their former offensive coordinator, and they have one of the best offenses in the league. And I just want to give him credit for that. He has kept that offense performing at the highest possible level, and it's kept that Cowboys team afloat. And now, with the addition of Quinnen Williams, their defense is starting to play better in moments. Quinnen Williams, since he's been involved in that defense, has performed very, very well. Keeps the run stop rate high. He's had a couple of sacks. Doing a really good job for him. So I'm impressed with the Cowboys. Obviously, I need to see more to think of them as a viable opponent in a playoff game. But they're trending in the right direction, and it seems like they're trending in the right direction relatively fast. That's it. Shedeur Sanders gets his first start. And he was solid, right? Nothing wrong with it. 24-10 win over the Raiders. 11 for 20, 209, one touchdown, one interception. Shedeur Sanders, though, this is the stat. He became the first Browns rookie quarterback to win in his first career start since 1995. Prior to Sanders, the Browns quarterbacks had been 0-17 in their first starts, the longest such streak in NFL history. He always said history repeats itself. In his first start, 24-10 win, comfortable win, over a bad team, granted. I mean, it kind of repeated itself. The throw to Dylan Sampson, obviously on the swing route for 66 yards, it was an easy one for him. But get this, it was the longest play from scrimmage for the Browns the entire season. And then, also in that game, he had a 53-yard completion to Isaiah Bond on the run to his right, dropped it in a bucket. Myles Garrett was freaking out over that throw. That was the second longest play from scrimmage the Browns have had the entire year. After the game, Stefanski was not willing to really name a starter, but he named a starter today, and he says that Dylan Gabriel, even though he's cleared concussion protocol, Shedeur Sanders is going to start against the 49ers. So that's a hell of a start to your starting career, regular season career for Shedeur Sanders. He's got to build on it now. Connor, what'd you think about his quotes, if you will? His quotes. He said before the game, what message do you want to deliver to the Browns fans, Browns faithful? And he basically said, I'm the guy you've been looking for. And then after the game, he made reference. This was after 1 week of practice. Imagine if I get a full off season. People are talking about how arrogant he is again. Here's my take. You have two polarized sides that won't get out of their own way, and you're both wrong. I just want to be clear about that. When Rex Ryan goes on TV and talks about how arrogant Shedeur Sanders is, it lights a fire under the Shedeur Sanders fans, and then they start talking about how he's a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, and Kevin Stefanski should be fired forever giving the thought that he shouldn't have started football games for the Cleveland Browns in 2025. So, like, you're both wrong, And I'll say this about the people that always say, I can't root for this guy. He's too arrogant. I don't know why you're so perturbed by it. I don't know why you're so bothered by it. It'd be different if this was a kid who got into trouble time and time again, never took accountability, and then ultimately still had that same arrogance. But he's a good kid. He says the right things 99.9% of the time. And he says one thing that is basically him believing in himself. And you make it a big deal. You don't root him on because you don't like how he has this supreme confidence in himself. And I'll say it this way. Every quarterback in the NFL has that supreme confidence. Shedeur Sanders just speaks on it more. He just lets you know how much confidence he has in himself. It's never bothered me. It just hasn't.
I think we need to stop policing high-level athletes playing at the highest level being confident in themselves.
That's a good rule of thumb. No one will follow it. Good rule of thumb, though. Chip Kelly's been fired a year after leaving Ohio State after the national championship and getting the highest salary among offensive coordinators in the National Football League. $6 million per year. $6 million per year. So I'm sure he's going to get all his guaranteed money left on the contract. But his offense ranked 31st in total yards among qualifying offenses, which is all of them. 31st out of 32. Not good. Not good. It might be over for him. I don't know. Chip Kelly, I felt like once he stepped down as the UCLA head coach to be the OC at Ohio State, it was kind of the beginning of the end because you could tell like the hunger to really buy in every single day. It's not there. You balked at the idea of being a head coach to go be an OC. So I don't know if his hunger is still there. Just feels like it's done for Chip Kelly. But that Raiders situation, I know how we talked about in the offseason, they made some good-looking decisions. It's been absolutely putrid. 2-9, and it's not getting better. Baker Mayfield suffered a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder. There was no fracture, no structural damage, but they're not ruling him out for Sunday's game against the Cardinals, but they're also not ruling him in. And all I have to say is poor Buccaneers, man. The injury, they started the season so good. Baker Mayfield was, to me, the MVP leader after 5 weeks of the season. And then Bucky Irving gets hurt. Chris Godwin can't stay on the field. Mike Evans gets hurt. Baker Mayfield starts getting his issues. Tristan Wirfs had to miss a couple weeks. The injuries have really derailed what was supposed to be a very good season. And to a certain extent, like a breakthrough season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But doesn't feel like that's going to happen anymore. Bears are 8-3. Beat the Steelers 31-28. Are y'all going to say anything to the positive side of what Caleb Williams is doing right now with Ben Johnson? Somebody gonna speak on it? They won't stop winning, and they're winning close games as opposed to what we've become used to in the past. And Caleb Williams, let's not discount what he did yesterday. He threw for 239, three touchdowns, averaged 5 yards a carry when he ran the ball. And he's been doing that week after week after week against whoever's put in front of him. So I just want the energy to start picking up about Caleb Williams and this Bears team. They've been impressive, and at this point, I think they deserve some recognition. You remember week one when the Minnesota Vikings beat the Chicago Bears and J.J. McCarthy was the best quarterback in the world and Caleb Williams, biggest bust ever? I have a stat for you. So EPA per dropback is a stat that has been followed since 2000. And I don't really like the advanced analytics, but it basically said it's expected points per attempt, right? Like, that's the idea of it. So how many points are you generating for your team per attempt that you take passing? J.J. McCarthy, among 852 quarterbacks that have been tracked for EPA per dropback since 2000, he's 851. Do you care to take a guess who the only quarterback is behind him? Who's 852?
Oh, God. I have no idea.
Not that hard if you really put your mind to it.
Zach Wilson?
The only quarterback worse than him since 2000 is Jamarcus Russell.
Oh.
I've drawn my line.
Fatality.
I've drawn
Fatality.
My line on J.J. McCarthy and people trying to like lift him up. 9. Oh, look how competitive he is. I've drawn my line and said he's a terrible quarterback, and I don't expect it to get much better. But that stat should tell you all you need to know. I think it's over before it ever will start. I don't even know if he's that serviceable of a backup going forward,
it
to be honest with you.
A special lack of ability to make Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, and Jordan Addison.
It's impressive.
Completely.
Yeah.
Zero.
It's impressive to the negative that you can't.
To make them a complete zero in a game is insane.
Kevin O'Connell and his system. Sam Darnold. Carson Wentz. Like, look at the quarterbacks that have been able to. For Josh Dobbs for a few weeks, for God's sakes. Like, every quarterback that has showed up in Minnesota has had at least a string of good games. I have not seen one from this kid. I'm tired of hearing about him. I'm tired of it.
He's still rewiring his brain.
Yes,
you have to give him time.
I guess so. But let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll come back and hit small talk. And small talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. We have Grizzlies versus Nuggets tonight. And maybe one of the complaints that we've been having since Zach Edey came back and Cedric Coward's been put on a minutes restriction, maybe we can alleviate that tonight against the Nuggets, because Tomas Isolo said that Zach Edey and Cedric Coward both responded well to their minutes restriction. And then he credited the training staff, said it was the right decision. But apparently both players have now progressed to the next level. So I think they're still on a slight minutes restriction, but they're going to be extended a few more minutes each game. So that's a positive. That's a positive. Both those guys have made impacts on winning for this team, and they can do more of it going forward.
Great news before tonight's game, because you're going to need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All the Edey minutes you can possibly get to take on Jokic.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
But Hot take.
We will have Grizzlies and Nuggets right here on 92.9 FM ESPN here in about 30 minutes. But before that, we talk with Harold Grader, the Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.